fourth parak is a fairly complicated parak, so we'll go through the high level, but won't go into the deep details on each of the mishnayos. Mishnah Aleph through Dalet is going to go through the various uses when the shkalim were collected each year. What was done with the shkalim that they were taken into the baskets three times a year? What if there were excess in those baskets? And how about the excess that was left in the lishka after they took the truma and put it into the basket? So we're going to start with Mishnah Aleph, a truma. But this is the three times that they drew into the three baskets, three times nine baskets, doing right before the Shalosh Regaglim. What would they expend those funds for? Hatshuma, what was drawn from the Lishka. Lokchim ba Tamidim u'Musafim v'Niskeim. They would use the Korbanos Tzibur for it. Tamidim, Musafim. There's various wines and oils and flour that was necessary for the Tamidim u'Musafim. The Korban HaOmer on the second day of Pesach, Hoshtei Alechem on Shavuos v'Lechem HaPanim, which is every Shabbos switching in new 12 loaves, a Kol Korbanos HaTzibur, including the Ketores for the Tzibur, was all taken from the Truma. Shomrei Svichin b'Shvis, Notlin Scharim b'Trumas HaLishka, those Shomrim that were paid to watch the overgrowth. In other words, it's talking about in the Shemitah year where we're not allowed to plant, but we need to make sure that we have barley for the Korban HaOmer on Pesach and wheat for the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. So we would have guards watching, making sure that the Beis HaMikdash could use non-planted but overgrowth, things that, for example, seeds dropped from the prior year. So they would have barley and wheat for those Korbanos. Rabbi Yossi makes a statement here. He disagrees. Af harotze mitnadev shomer chinam. He says, not only can we pay those watchers, those watchmen from the Truma as well, because that's necessary for the Korbanos, but if he wants to work for free, he is also entitled to work for free. No problem. Ram lulo. Chachamim say back, Afa ta'omer she'enam ba'im ela mishal tzibur. You would agree that it comes only from Korbanos tzibur. What's going on here is that Chazal are concerned if somebody would work for free and if he intended to acquire the wheat and barley he's watching, then he would own it personally, and we're only permitted to take wheat and barley or any other items for a Korban tzibur if it's from the tzibur, not from an individual. And if that individual owns it, we couldn't take it. And even if that individual wants to give it, but he doesn't give it wholeheartedly, that would not be permitted. That would not be considered a Korban Sibur. Mishnah Beis. Para v'sa'ir ha-mishtaleach, the para aduma, any cost, sa'ir ha-mishtaleach, that is on Yom Kippur, when they would send out the higo to Azalzel, v'lashon sa'zohoris, was a thread of yarn that was a thread of a strip of red wool that was burned together with the para aduma. Ba'in mitruma salishka. Those costs would also come from the truma salishka. That is, those are the funds that were put into the basket three times a year. Now we're going to go to the next use of funds, also talking from the shkalim, but we're talking about once they have withdrawn the funds, the truma, and putting it in the baskets, there are funds, shkalim, left over in the lishka. What would they do with those leftover funds? Kevesh para, they used to build a ramp for the para aduma to make sure that it avoids any tumah as they were taking it from the Beis HaMikdash to the Har HaZeisim to burn it. The Kevesh Sayir HaMishtalech, and also the Sayir HaMishtalech and Yom Kippur, they would build a ramp for it. V'lashon Shebein Karnav, and the special crimson piece of wool that they would tie between the horns of the Sayir HaMishtalech, Amas HaMayim, any uptake of the canal that ran through the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, V'chomos HaIr Migdoloseha, any fixing of the walls of Yerushalayim and its towers, V'chol Tzorcheri, or any needs for Yerushalayim, Bayim Yishari Alishka, would come from not the Trumas Alishka that was put into the baskets, but the Shiari, what was ever left over in the Lishka and the chamber from the Shkalim. These were the uses. Abba Shaul Omer, he disagrees on one point. Kevesh para kohanim gedolim osim oso mishalatzman. That kevesh, that ram, that was for the para duma, the kohen who was zocha to have a para duma brought in his time, he would actually pay to build a new ramp to take that para duma out of Yerushalayim. Mishnah Gimel, we're going to now go to the third source of funds. We're going to talk about, we talk about in Mishnah Beis, when we have the extra funds in the antechamber, so we used for the Mishnah Beis, but how about if we still have funds in the chamber and the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash from that year's shkalim, what would we do with them? Mosam Shiari Alishka, so the excess of what's still left over in the Lishka, Mayu Osimba, Lokim Bahem Yenos, Shmani Maslasa, we would buy the various different things that were used in the Nesachim of the Beis HaMikdash, be it wine or oil or fine flour. And the Beis HaMikdash would sell it for a profit, Vasachar LeHekdesh, and the Beis HaMikdash would keep the profit, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. We'll talk about what they would do with it in the next Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva disagreed. Ein Mishtakli, Mishal Hekdesh. We don't do business with the funds of the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo Mishal Anim. Also, we can't invest the funds that are waiting to be given out to the poor as tzedakah. So here we have an important machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. If the Beis HaMikdash can go into business, Rabbi Yishmael saying yes, and Rabbi Akiva saying no, that has an implication for our next Mishnah, Mishnah Dalet. Mosar Truma Mehayuosimba. So we're going back to the baskets that we would withdraw funds of the Shkalim three times a year, and we discussed the uses from them, that we would use those funds for the Tmidim and the Karban Tamid and the Musaf. That was discussed in Mishnah Aleph in the beginning of Mishnah Beis. But how about comes the end of the year, we have funds left in the baskets? What would be done for that? That's why it's called Mosar, the excess, the surplus of the Truma, the things that were actually taken into those baskets. So the Mishnah says, first opinion, we're going to have a few opinions. Rikue Zahav, they would use it for the gold plating, tzipui lebeis kodshei hakadoshim, to plate the kodesh hakadoshim, be it on their walls, on the floor, on the ceiling. That's what the use of the otosh kalim were. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Yishmael from the prior Mishnah, who said the Beis HaMikdash can turn a profit, he says, what will we do with that profit? Mosar apeiros, that's the excess, the profit that we make from selling the Nesachim and the Beis HaMikdash, that would go let Ketz HaMizbeach, literally the dessert of the Mizbeach. In other words, days that the Mizbeach was slow, they would buy Korbanos Ola from that, those profits that we generated in the prior Mishnah, and we would buy extra Korban Olas to keep the Mizbeach busy. Umos or Truma, the subject of this Mishnah, the leftover in the buckets from the Truma Salishka, what would we do with that? The Kli Sharis, we would invest in necessary Kli Sharis, the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, like bowls for doing the Kabbalah of the Dam when we did a Shechita and a Korban. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva is from the prior Mishnah, he says we don't have most of our parents, we don't have profits from investing funds in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is not there to make a profit. So he says, Mosar HaTruma, the subject of our Mishnah, the leftover in the baskets, that's what went to Leketz HaMizbeach for the excess Ola, when the Korban Ola is when the Mizbeach was slow, umoser nesachim likli sharis. But when there was extra nesachim, meaning if we had extra wine, if we had extra oil or extra fine flour at the end of the year, which often happened, then we would take those funds and invest when utensils were necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Hananya Skana Koanimar, he fundamentally agrees with Rabbi Akiva, but he flips Rabbi Akiva's two statements around. He says, moser nesachim, when we had excess nesachim, now we go locate some mizbeach, the extra ola offerings. Mosar HaTruma, when you have excess funds in the baskets from the Truma Salishka, that would go to Kli Sharis. Vizeh, vizeh, both the latter two opinions, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hananya Skana Konim, Lohayu Modi Meberes, they did not agree with Rabbi Shmuel, who said that the Beis HaMikdash could earn a profit. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hananya Skana Konim were of the view the Beis HaMikdash cannot earn a profit. Mishnah, hey, surplus of another thing, Mosar HaKtoris Mehayu Osimba, come the end of the year and we have excess incense, what would we do with that? So the extra ketores. So the Mishnah says as follows, we have to be sure to that incense that was brought with last year's shkalim, we have to now use on Nisan Allah, the first of Nisan, we have to use the new shkalim to purchase that incense. So what we have to do is we have to take that ketores from being hekdesh and somehow use it and get it out of the status of hekdesh, get it into chol, and then repurchase it with the new shkalim. How are we going to do that? So the Mishnah says as follows. Step number one, mafrishin mimena schar umanim. If we have any umanim, we have craftsmen that did work for the Beis HaMikdash, we have to pay them with the funds of the Beis HaMikdash. So what would we do is we would take from the truma funds, from the shkalim, we would take off, and the kohen would be mezaket on their behalf. You would take possession of it, it would become unconsecrated, those funds, right now. And what they would do is umachalalin osa al schar ha'umanim. They would take the ketores that is still hekdesh, and they would transfer the kedusha from the ketores onto the coins. So the coins that were unconsecrated now become consecrated, and the ketores becomes unconsecrated. Venosim osa lo umani bischarna, and they would give the ketores to the craftsmen who are owed money in payment for their work. And what they would then do is vachozrim velochin osa mitshuma hadash. They would take the new shkalim that came into the Beis HaMikdash. They're starting to use it on Nisan Aleph, the first of Nisan, they would take the new shkalim and they would repurchase that ketores that was paid to the craftsmen, and now they would be buying it with the new shkalim, and now we have the leftover incense from last year that was bought with the new shkalim, and it can be used in the new korbanos year. Im ba hechadash bizmano lochim osa mitshuma chadash. Obviously, we can only do that if the coins arrived on time. They had them by the first of Nisan, but if there was, for example, the seeds of Yerushalayim, there was a delay in getting the shkalim. They didn't have the new shkalim. If im lavit, the shkalim didn't arrive, mina yeshana, they would be forced to repurchase the those that katoros from the craftsmen with the old shkalim from the prior year. Mishnah Vav starts off for the next few mishnayos, very complicated mishnayos. If somebody donates his belongings to the Beis HaMikdash and he doesn't designate the uses, and included in his belongings are certain items that is roi lamizbech, that could be brought on the altar, for example, an animal that could be brought as an ola or a shlamim or oil or other types of nesachim. So what happens with that? Now, there's a general rule when somebody donates something to the Beis HaMikdash, it has the status of hekdesh, and a certain type of hekdesh has the kedushas of bedek habayis, that those funds are going to be used to pay the overhead of the Beis HaMikdash. But there's another rule that most of the Tanaim adhere to, that also something that's worthy, if not all the Tanaim, that something is worthy for the Mizbeach, it has to be given on the Mizbeach. So what we have to do is generally meet both of these imperatives, that if somebody donates things, his belongings, even if it is worthy to go on the Mizbeach, the funding for that, the same value has to go into the Beis HaMikdash, but also that item has to be brought on the Mizbeach, if it's worthy to be brought on the Mizbeach. So here we'll hash that out a little bit. Hamakdish nechasav, mishnevav, hamakdish nechasav, v'hayu behen dvarim ru'uyin lekorbanas hatzibur. If somebody donated his belongings to the Beis HaMikdash, and there were among them items that could be brought on the Mizbeach. And we're talking now specifically about the Ketores. So included in what he donated was Ketores incense. So how are we going to meet both of our imperatives? So it says, his first opinion here, Yenasnu la'umani bischaran, you can take that Ketores, that is Hekdesh, it has the status of the Bedek Abayis, the Kedushas of Bedek Abayis, and you can simply pay craftsmen directly with that, and now that Ketores goes out of the status of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're effectively selling it because we're using that Ketores to pay off the amounts owed by the Beis HaMikdash. And what we would do is then we would buy it back with Truma funds, and we would bring that Ketores on the Mizbeach. So now we effectively have the value in the Bedek HaBayis of that donation, and we're also bringing that Ketores on the Mizbeach, achieving both of our imperatives, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo benazai enohi amiamidat. Benazai is of the view that you cannot simply take an asset, Ketores, and pay somebody for an intangible, for their work, in other words. If you want to take the value, the kedusha of the Ketores, and move it to something, you have to move it to a physical item. So Benazai has a different construct. Enohi amida ela mafrishin mehen schar ha'umanim. What you would have to do, as we saw in the prior Mishnah, is that we would be mafrish from the truma, from the shkalim funds in the Beis HaMikdash, the amount that's owned by the craftsman, umechalin osan almaus omanim, and we take the Ketores and we would switch the value. In other words, we took the funds, we were mazaket on behalf of one of the kohanim, we take it on behalf of the craftsman who was owed the money. In other words, that money went out of being the status of hekdesh, it was no longer has kedusha, it is deconsecrated, and we would move the kedusha of the Ketores onto the coins, and now the Ketores goes into chulin, it is no longer consecrated, and now mechalin osan amal sa'umani, that's the transfer of the kedusha from the Ketores onto the funds, v'nosin osan the umani b'schron, and now we would take that Ketores, which is deconsecrated, and we would pay the umani, the craftsmen, as their wages, and the chosvin v'lokhin osan mitshuma chadash, we would go and repurchase that Ketores from the craftsmen and with the new shkalim funds, and accordingly we would achieve both of our goals. We are going to be able to use that Ketores on the Mizbeach, and we have also maintained the value necessary in the Beis HaMikdash from that donation. Next, donation Mishnah, how is Mishnah Zayin, Amakdish Nechasev Aisaba and Behema Ruya L'Gaba Ezveach. In the prior Mishnah, somebody donated belongings and there was Ketores. Now somebody donated belongings and there's also now a Behema. And the issue that we're grappling with, again, is we have that behema that could be brought and should be brought on the Mizbeach, but we also want the value of that behema to be left for the Bedek HaBayis, for the overhead of the Beis HaMikdash. So it says as follows, somebody donated his belongings with the Behema, Ruri, Alagame, Ezbech, Zecharim, and Akevas, and there were male and female korbanos. What do you do? First opinion. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Zecharim, Yemachru, Letzorach, Eolas. What you do is you take the male animals that can be brought as a korban Eolas, sell them, and what you're doing effectively is we're bringing the value back into the Bedek HaBayis, so the Beis HaMikdash will have that value of the donation for the overhead, and also the person who bought that animal is going to bring it on Mizbeach, so we're achieving both of our imperatives, as is necessary, that the value of the donation, even for an animal that can be brought as a korban, is coming back to the Bedek HaBayis, and the animal that could be on the Mizbeach is being brought by somebody as a korban, and if it's Nekeva, if it's female animals that were donated, we do something similar. Yemachu Letzor, we sell it, and a shlamim can be brought from either a zachar or a nekeva. So a nekeva was sold, and it was brought as a shlamim, but we sold it. We bring the value into the Beis HaMikdash, udemeim yiplu, and when we monetize these animals, that money will go with the rest of the donation of the person's belongings, im sha'ar nechasim lebedek habayis. They will go all to the Bedek HaBayis, so the entire donation, the Bedek HaBayis will receive the value of the donation, including the animals. Next opinion, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees fundamentally. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, he says, his big debate here is when somebody donates, and he donates belongings, certainly his intention is for the belongings to go, the value to the Bedek HaBayis, but when somebody donates animals, his intention is not that the value will go to the Bedek HaBayis, his intention is that those animals will be brought as korbanos on the Mizbeach. We don't have to make the value, sell those animals and have the value you go to the Bedek HaBayis. So Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Zachari, Matzman, Yikarvu Lola. So somebody donated a bunch of things and included animals. You can just take that animal. You don't have to sell it to someone and bring the money into the Bedek HaBayis. You can just bring that animal as a korban ola. Nekevas, and a nekeva, if it's a female, yemachu letzorchei ziv cheshlamim, you can sell it as a ziv cheshlamim, you can sell it as a shlamim. Now he makes one difference here. He's going to say, v'yavi b'demehim olas, but you should not bring the funds as a shlamim. You should bring it as an ola. What's going on here is that Rabbi Yeshua is of the view that if somebody donated animals to the Beis HaMikdash, clearly the donor's intention is that he wants it to bring or brought as a korban ola specifically, because a korban ola, it goes fully to the Beis HaMikdash. If it's a shlamim, the owners get to eat some of it. So he's of the view, whatever the animal is, it has to ultimately be brought as an ola. We don't have to worry about the value going into the Beis HaMikdash. We have to make sure those animals, all of them are brought as an ola. So if it's a male, bring it straight as an ola. If it's a female, you can't bring it as an ola. An ola can only be brought as a male. So we have to sell the female, and with the money, we will buy a korban ola and bring that as a korban ola. Shor nechasim, and the rest of the value, of the rest of the belongings, will yiplu lebedek HaBayis, will go to the Bedek HaBayis, but we don't care about the animals themselves. The value does not have to go to the Bedek HaBayis. We have to bring those animals as korbanos. Rabbi Akiva Omer. So we had here a fundamental machlokes here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer is achieving both of our rules. He is ensuring that the entire value of the donation is going to the Bedek HaBayis, including the value of animals. And also he's ensuring that those animals are brought as korbanos, albeit we sell it to somebody and they bring it as a korban. And that achieves our first imperative of bringing the full value of the entire donation, including the animals, into the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, he distinguishes, he divides up between the assets. Generally, the assets, belongings, we will monetize and bring into the value into the Bedek HaBayis, but animals, we're not going to bring the value necessarily into the Bedek HaBayis. We have to make sure those animals are brought as korbanos, as a korban ola in particular. So Rabbi Yeshua is distinguishing between the assets, and Rabbi Eliezer is being consistent. So here Rabbi Akiva Omer, Roe Ani Estivei Rabbi Eliezer Midivrei Rabbi Yeshua. I side with Rabbi Eliezer over Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer Hishva Es Midaso. Rabbi Eliezer has a consistent standard. He's treating all the assets equally. They all have to wind up with the value in the Bedek HaBayis, even of the animals. For Rabbi Yeshua Chalak, and Rabbi Yeshua is distinguishing. He's saying if it's a regular asset, then it goes to Bedek HaBayis. But if it's an animal, we don't care about it. It's going to the Bedek HaBayis. We have to bring it as a korban ola. Amar Rav Papias, Shamati Kedivrei Shem. Rav Papias takes another view. I learned in yeshiva based on both of them. They're both correct, but it depends the situation. Shamaktish Beferush, that somebody who gives maktish, he explains explicitly gives a donation, meaning if he clearly says, I am going to donate the animals together with my other assets. In other words, he says, for example, my animals, my korbanos, my animals, and my other assets, my other possessions shall be hekdesh. So he grouped them together. So that situation, we side like kedivrei Rebbe Eliezer. Then we hold like Rebbe Eliezer that all of the assets are treated equally and they all go to the bedek abayit because he grouped the animals together with his other possessions. V'amaktish kasham. However, somebody just says, I'm donating my stuff to the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't explicitly say, I'm donating the animals together with my other assets. In that situation, we're going to kedivrei Rebbe Yeshua. We are going to paskin like Rebbe Yeshua that we can treat and we should treat the animals differently from the other assets that are donated. The animals, clearly his intention, according to Rebbe Yeshua, is going to be that they have to go to a korban olah and the other assets will go to bedek habayis. Mishnah Ches. We have the third Mishnah. The first of these three was somebody is makdish and he doesn't designate and he has a bunch of assets and there was kedoros included. The next Mishnah, which is our prior Mishnah, he donated and he didn't designate the uses and included was an animal. Now, Mishnah Ches, HaMakdish Nechosim V'hayu Bahem Dvorim Ru'uyin Agal Bayam Yizmeh. So somebody who's donating a bunch of assets and included therein are items that can go on the Mizbeach. What is in particular? Yenos, wine, shmanim, oils, ofos, birds, these can all go onto the Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar is the third view, a little bit, it's different from Rabbi Akiva and different from Rabbi Eliezer in the prior Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer, but it's similar to Rabbi Yeshua. Yemachru letzorche oso, I mean, so whatever it is, you sell that item for use in the Beis HaMikdash to be used for that, somebody who needs that specific item. For example, somebody needs wine, sell them the wine. Somebody needs oil, sell them the oil. Somebody needs a bird, sell them the bird. But what you do with it, v'yavid b'neim olas, and we would bring a korban ola. Now the difference between Rabbi Elazar in this Mishnah and Rabbi Yeshua in the prior Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua just says, bring it as a korban. Korban ola, not necessarily an animal. It could be brought as a korban ola from a bird. Then here in this Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar is saying only an animal. Korban ola as an animal. Ushar nechasim yiplu lebedek habayis. And the rest of the donations should go to the bedek habayis. Mishnah Tes goes on to a different, less difficult subject. Mishnah Tes achas leshoshim yom misharin et alishka. What they would say Beis HaMikdash, the treasures in the Beis HaMikdash were buying their various needs, they would set prices. So the Mishnah here is saying that they would set the price and they would say for 30 days our set price for buying oil and for buying the various nesachim, the wine and the flour. This is our price for 30 days. And the Misharin, the Talishka, and everyone who wanted to sell had to stick with those prices. So even if the price went up, the suppliers who agreed to it had to supply the needs on a daily basis. The Beis HaMikdash would say what they need. They had to supply it at the original price that they agreed to. If the price went down, then the suppliers had to adjust their price downward. So here we go. For example, if a supplier agreed to supply solas, the korban solas, or it seemingly would be with the oil or the wine, at a price of four. In other words, you can buy four se'ah for one sell. In other words, we would say four apples for a dollar. Four apples for a dollar, that's a set price. Amdu bishalosh, and the price went up, and now you can only buy three for that price, not four. Yisapeg me'arba, still the supplier had to continue supplying at the price of four. In other words, price went up, he still has to supply on the agreed upon price. Mishalosh, if they agreed to a price of three, va'amdu me'arba, and the price went down, and now you can buy four se'ah, four of that volume for one se'ah. It doesn't, in that situation, yisapik ma'arba, the supplier has to readjust the price and give it at the cheaper price, shiyat hektesh ala yona, because the price of the hektesh, the Beis HaMikdash, is going to have the upper hand when it comes to contracts. And in a similar vein, v'im hislia soles, if once that supply has been made, and the soles, the flour goes bad, or if the wine goes bad, he tlia lo. It's the problem of the supplier. He would have to supply new goods. He has a guarantee on it until it's used. So until it's used, he has to guarantee the quality. For example, if the wine becomes vinegary, hichmitz lo. It's the problem of the supplier, and he has to replace it. If he actually would receive the money, up front, but don't assume that it's your money, is the, what is the Mishnah saying, even though the supplier was played, but don't spend it yet. Make sure you have that money until the whatever you supplied is brought on the Mizbeach, because you have a guarantee outstanding that if the goods you supplied to the Mizbeach go bad, you're going to have to stand behind them, make good on it, and replace them.